Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Modern Workplace Hacks podcast. My name's Tom Freer, and welcome to 2023, our new season, series, whatever we're going to call it. Josh and I today are chatting about 2023, what we see is likely to happen, where things are going, all things business, technology, even books in this episode. Yeah, we had a bit of fun. It was really good to sort of have these conversations and see where we see things are heading. So sit back and enjoy the episode.
Welcome to another Modern Workplace Hacks, Tom.
Hello, Josh.
Here, 2023.
I
found it easier to say it this year. Usually,
than 2022.
Well, usually I have this thing where I keep saying last year's date, or I say, "Oh yeah, 2022." When I write it in my notebook.
I did that this morning actually, because I wrote a proposal and I signed it off 2022, and PDF'd and went,
Damn it.
Got to redo that. It's actually 2023.
It's about a month. I just went for a little wander to get some lunch, and people are still not into it. I've noticed there's still a number of shops are closed.
Dead.
Yeah, there's no one around.
Yeah, my sandwich bar, is it open this week?
No, not
I was
open.
Here last week and it wasn't
there
open.
There we go. Yeah, sandwich bar's not open.
Couldn't get my barmy.
I was going over there for a salad. Yeah, that's where I was going.
A salad?
Yep.
Healthy year this year, Josh?
Oh, trying. 10,000 steps a day. That's the minimum.
How are you going to get it in? What's your plan?
Well, it's interesting. I walked across the sandwich shop and I thought, instead of just walking straight back to the office, I'm going to walk one block away and then I'm going to walk down and around.
Huh.
And I thought, that's an extra 2,000 steps.
Nice. So, that's the way to do it.
Yeah, I don't know if that's the right strategy.
Park your scooter somewhere else rather than downstairs.
No, Bronson wouldn't like that at all.
What if you start parking your scooter somewhere else?
Yeah, I wouldn't give him something to complain about. So this year, everyone's saying it's going to be really good, and I'm going with that.
I'm pumped.
Yeah, I'm going with it's going to be a really good one. Last year, I felt like everyone was pumped, and then it dumped.
Well,
don't know how that came.
Well, last year started with it was bright, right?
Yeah.
And then we had
lockdown,
and then we had floods.
Yep.
That was 2022, wasn't it?
Yeah, we had
floods.
Yep. Yep, it all happened.
It was a pretty hectic start to the year.
Well, the first quarter was just trashed.
Nothing's happening this year. No. This is all in. Let's go.
Yep, that's it.
It'll be good though. It's I don't know. It's a bright sunny day out there today.
It's hot.
Maybe that's just going to be the continuing.
I think so.
Yep.
That's what we're putting out there anyway.
Put it out to the universe.
To everybody.
You've been reading that. What did you read? The Secret? Is that what you read over the?
No, what's that? Is that a thing?
Nah, isn't that one of those books? Like The Secret is that you can just manifest it.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. I've heard about this. There's a documentary on it. No, I haven't.
No, I didn't. I've gone back to
Napoleon Hill, which is a bit of, that's manifestation, Think and Grow Rich. That's just interesting.
Getting your mindset.
Yeah.
That's a good book. I really enjoyed that book.
Yeah.
I've been reading Atomic Habits.
Oh, James Clear. Yeah. Great book. Really good book.
Yeah.
And it frustrates me a little bit because he makes it sound really simple about like the habit stacking.
Just habit stacking and stuff. I'm still flat out getting one habit change.
I was thinking, so when I brush my teeth, what else should I do after that that triggers it?
It's pretty good, though.
It is good book.
It is good. It's good. It's got me back in the gym. So.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Just little things.
Yeah.
But it's all mindset. It's crazy.
Yes, it is.
It's crazy.
It is mindset.
Anyway, this year's going to be good.
2023, what's going to happen?
I'm on a health kick.
Yep.
Yep, good. So that's a big thing.
Yep.
That's good. What's going to happen in the way of business?
Yeah.
Technology.
Jobs. Topical.
Jobs, topical. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting market at the moment.
Mm.
And it has been for a while.
And it's kind of everyone goes, oh, it's going to correct. And you go, yeah, but how and when and why and
are people really going to do what they used to? 400,000 jobs that need to be filled.
Yep.
Which is everything across. You've got fruit pickers and you've got everything from fruit picking to technology.
Like it's all accountants. No one can get accountants.
Is that going to change? Well, unless they fix immigration, which
we had a discussion about this morning.
Which is just a dog's breakfast.
Yeah.
And again, I don't have that much insight into how that whole process. Well, I have actually. I've been trying to go through that process for one of the team, and it's just
cumbersome.
It's just ridiculous. It's
super cumbersome.
And there's just no value to be had.
Yeah, yeah.
You got people who want to work, paying taxes, want to be here.
Yeah. Make it easy.
Why can't
for
we
them.
Give them a job?
Yeah.
If we've got that many jobs to fill.
Yeah, yeah. I agree.
I don't know. Interesting.
I agree. I feel like it's. I remember a long time ago when everyone
You're
said,
not that old, Josh. You I can't
know,
be a long time
no,
ago.
No, it was a long time ago. And everyone went, oh, overseas people will take all your jobs. And it still hasn't happened. And that was a long time ago that they were talking about that.
Well, I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think it will happen. I mean, how many people are going offshore for jobs as well?
Yep.
So we live in a globalized
company
work environment, I guess.
Yeah.
We can get talent from anywhere.
Yep.
I mean, there's
limitations to that.
There are limitations and there's challenges. There's no doubt about it because, I mean, we do it now, but it's got its challenges. But if we can't get people here, we have to get them elsewhere, which we've had to do.
I think we were recruited for, 6 months last year trying to get somebody?
Yep.
And couldn't do it?
Couldn't find the right fit. But we've got that happening now, so that's all good. But that's been an offshore thing. But in saying that, the offshore is not necessarily a cost-effective measure as much as it has been in the past.
No.
To do it right.
Correct. And everyone used to say, oh, it's cheaper, and it's not anymore.
It's not really. It's probably 15-20%.
Yeah,
but it's not the 50-60% that it used to be.
That everyone used to be. Yeah.
And it's not like you can just go on to Upwork or Fiverr and go, oh, I want to engage. Like, that's just not how, to do it professionally.
Yeah, yeah.
And at scale, you can't do it that way. No. Yeah, it's great if you're solo operator, all that sort of stuff, and you can get someone on Fiverr or get
and
someone
I
on
think
Upwork.
It depends on the skill set as well.
Oh, yeah.
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 Like, there's a lot of graphic designers out there you can still get on Fiverr and at a relatively cost-effective.
Yeah. As long as you're clear on what you want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
That is true.
But yeah, I think that's going to be – I think that's going to continue to be a challenge, but I think it's –
You see these big companies as well, and you were talking about this Amazon and those guys laying off people.
Well, Salesforce and Amazon, I think, have laid off. I think I read an article this morning that says Salesforce are restructuring and potentially 10% of their global staff will go.
Yeah.
That's a fair number.
It's a lot of people coming into the market.
Yeah, and I was talking to someone late last year, and they said sort of April, May, there's going to be, I think we'll see end of 2022,
yep.
Beginning of 2023, a little bit of restructure, little bit of stuff. So there'd be people in the market.
Mm.
But are they the people we need? Well, who knows?
Yeah, big questions, isn't it?
Just keep looking.
Yeah.
Keep it out there. But it's interesting. I mean, it comes down to, and it's something we're doing internally as well, is, okay, if we can't get the people, how do we make the people we've got more effective?
Yeah.
So that's continues to be a big focus for us. And we're looking at AI, automation, process map, all these things that we keep talking about. I mean, we talk about it, we do it for our clients.
Yeah.
We're now doing it internally.
Yeah, which is good.
Which is great. So we're investing in some AI tech around our service desk and management around that, which should start to implement in Feb, which will be good. But a lot of it's just process driven as well.
Yeah.
Getting really, really
clear on what you do end to end.
Yeah.
And it's a funny thing. I feel like that's it's a never-ending question,
it's a never-ending cycle of review as well.
Yeah.
I mean, again, you're doing it for your sales team.
Yeah.
How do we get rid of any inefficiency that we can? Do we need more tools? But a lot of it just comes down to, here's the actual process.
Yeah.
If we all follow the steps.
Yep.
It's pretty clear, pretty concise.
It's a bit of discipline, I reckon.
Discipline.
Sometime.
Yeah.
A little bit of discipline. And it's hard because I even observed this morning in some of our meetings. It sometimes there's a lot of noise in a business. So there's a lot of like this and that. And if you look at it and just go, okay, what is what it is? What's the fact? What's the line, right? And if you can have discipline around always coming back to that, which I think is it's a hard thing to do for a lot of businesses, and especially – you know, medium to small businesses, I think, struggle with this the most is like finding that, okay, what is it that are our core numbers that there is no negotiation or story or anything that diverges away from that's what it is.
Yeah, and it is a balance because it can be seen as impersonal as well at times.
Yes.
When you look at enterprise, there's sort of this perception that, okay, that's just the process and the way we go and we just have to put up with it.
Yep.
Whereas in that mid-space, it's we want to be more personable. We want to be more personalised.
Yep.
But that doesn't scale. You've still got to have that. And you can do it. It's getting it right. And there's no reason you can't. You can go off, but as long as you said you've got discipline to come back to that line and that process to say, okay, great. Yep. We might need to tweak and customize it for this certain delivery, but ultimately it's still the same process we're following.
Yeah.
And I think that's the key thing is that
definitely
people get the noise distracts people from the process.
Yep.
You can still personalize and have and you're still going to have that noise, but the process should remain relatively the same.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people are hankering for this. And prime example is we've put on this optimization webinar and the influx of people that want to come to it and the conversations we've had off the back of it would indicate to me that a lot of people are searching for answers around this.
Yeah, and there's a lot of hype, I think, in the market around AI and all these sort of cool tech things that are supposedly going to solve all the problems.
Yeah,
they're not.
No.
Because,
again, noise.
They're not. I mean, I look at what we're doing. So we're doing AI in our service desk, which requires us to get very, very specific around how our service desk operates. Which is what we should be doing anyway. But you throw an AI into something that's a mess, you're going to get zero return and zero results.
It's
going to
get a bigger mess, aren't you?
It's going to get a much bigger mess. Shit in, shit out. Well, it is. Rubbish in, rubbish out.
100%.
So the silver bullet isn't so much technology. The silver bullet is documenting your process.
Getting
absolutely
which
clear.
Which seems bloody boring.
Oh, and it is. It's hell boring.
But it works.
But
right?
It works. Then once you've got that, and this is what we go, like I've been talking to people about in the optimization discussion, is you can't automate a bad process.
Yep. 100%.
You just can't.
I've seen this firsthand with content inventories with SharePoint websites. So it's not that necessarily we've designed the best SharePoint environment, right? Because a lot of the time SharePoint environments and folder structures and all that are quite general in many ways, right? But the fact of when people actually understand what they've got,
that's
where the biggest benefit is.
Well, that's right. Until you know what you've got, whether it be content or process, you have to know how it works because I can guarantee, and we say it all the time, and we found it here, it's just been, okay, let's sit down, let's look at this process.
Yep.
We're going to go from, and it was a sales process.
The
sales and quoting process. Mm. How's it work today? Oh, we do this and we create that document, we do this and we go back to that person, blah, 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 and then it gets invoiced.
Yep.
Wow, and there's 14 steps in here that are just all over the shop.
Don't need to be there.
And I can tell you when we get to this invoicing stage, we're spending more time going back to the beginning trying to find the right data.
Yeah.
How about we just reshape that and go, let's look at the process.
Yeah.
Do this, use this tool, use this document, bang.
Yeah.
What's missing in that?
Yeah.
Well, when we look at it, there's actually not. It's been great and it's just streamlined it.
Yeah.
Four is probably a little bit simple, but you know what I
mean. No, exactly. Yeah.
It's just taking out all, as to your point, get rid of the noise in the process.
Yep.
Doesn't need to be there.
That's the mantra for 23, I think.
Get rid of the noise.
Get rid of the noise because there's been a lot of it. I think the world has struggled with the last 3 years is everyone's been worried about the COVID thing. Everyone's worried and there's just a lot of noise around. Mm. And it's like, okay, we'll just, if everyone can come back to some type of fundamentals around whatever they do, and this is applicable across any industry at any size.
It doesn't matter whether you're one person or 1,000 people or whatever.
That just if you were to look back and perfect example, you this morning just sitting there and you just got zero up and went, bang, we're going to actually categorize what it is that gets quoted and that's it.
Moving forward,
that's the framework we use. So then that is now just a line in the sand to be able to then discipline yourself against
that. Well, and that's the start. Okay, here's the line.
Yeah.
And we know that over the next 3 months,
yep.
okay, we've got to this point, and the next 3 months, there's going to be things that come out of left field that
yep.
don't quite fit that or need to change, or that's cool.
Yeah, yeah.
We've got a starting point now.
100%.
And we can build on that, and then we can look at tools and systems that will automate some of this. And
yeah.
And that's the idea, is we want to get to a point where there's minimal duplicate data entry. That when something hits a certain stage, there's an automation or a yeah. flag that kicks off and does something. And that's what people, I think, sometimes get caught up in that, is they think they have to automate the whole thing.
Yep.
Which you don't.
Yep.
You just have to stage it a stage.
Yeah, yeah.
And there'll be points in that process where you go, I'm not ready to automate that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I can trigger something that then kicks off a manual process. So, and it might be something like as simple as creating a task in Planner or sending an email to someone.
Yep.
That automation is now stopped. We've got a manual process that kicks in
yeah.
and away it goes, and it could come back into a system after that. So yep. I think that's important, is that you don't have to do it all at once.
No.
And none of this is big bang approach either.
Bit by bit. Incrementals.
Incremental James Clear. Improvement. Which one's that one?
James Clear, the book you're reading.
Oh, Atomic Habits. That's what he talks about.
You're not going to.
I'm not up to that bit.
Sorry, I've jumped ahead.
You just ruined the punchline for me. I was just looking across your shoulder, Josh. We've got our new library.
Yes. It's very good. We've got a reading room in WinTech.
Reading room. It looks pretty good. It's the books that were in a box that I pulled out, and they're actually quite good.
Well, I spoke to Sally, the property manager, and she's sending a builder up to have a look at our new room we're getting as well.
Yep, the escape room.
Apparently, we need to use their builders.
Oh, do we?
Yeah, apparently.
Of course we do, because they're 50% more expensive.
So they don't listen to our podcast.
No, they love it.
Yeah.
But books reading is one thing I'm doing more of this year. It's one thing I didn't do enough of last year.
Information, yeah. I think it's good for the mind. Mm. Definitely good for the mind.
And I can't read like
fantasy
stuff. No. I do like the reading of... I can't get into the fantasy stuff.
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
Or even like the, what is it? Like even the I don't know.
Fiction.
Fiction, is it fiction?
Fiction is where it's, yeah.
Fiction, non-fiction?
Yeah, non-fiction's business.
Yeah, books. Yeah. Well, no, I'm not into the fiction books.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
It's, yeah, no, it's good. AI, talking about it a bit more, do you think it's going to be something that people need to look more deeply into this year? Obviously, we spoke about briefly at the end of last year. Is it going to continue to grow? And
yeah, I think we're on the cusp of where this is going to go. I don't think it's as I said before. I don't think there's a silver bullet in what AI is going to deliver.
Yes.
For some, I think we've got to be clear about AI versus process as well. Process optimization.
Yes, very valuable.
Because we can automate tools.
It's very confusing.
We can automate processes, which doesn't mean we're necessarily using AI.
Yes.
So AI, I think, is more about the interpretation of data and information.
Yep.
So we can use AI to examine content and data to then kick off a process.
Yep.
So we would use, let's take an invoicing process, for example. You can scan an invoice in. You would use an AI tool to evaluate that invoice if it was an unknown invoice, to try and identify the key information to then save that somewhere to kick off a process.
Yeah, right.
So that would be an element of AI that does that.
Yep.
Although some of those you would be putting that in and you would have a subset. So you know you get 50 invoices a month and 40 of those come from the same providers, so you would actually design your process around those. So that's not necessarily AI.
Yes.
All we're doing is data capture.
Capture, yep.
Optical character recognition, that sort of stuff.
Yep.
AI is that, I think, when we look at it, it's the interpretation of that data. So I can ask it a question and I get an answer.
Yep.
So that question could be from a knowledge base that the AI has been trained against.
Yes.
ChatGPT is an example, which is on ridiculous scale, where you can ask it anything and it's got all the information there. But it's built off data. It's learned. It's been engineered for that.
Yes.
It's AI, and that's probably ties into machine learning, where it's monitoring your data and learning patterns, I guess, and learning to interpret it. Is that the right word?
Yes.
Interpret it. That's AI. So that's what we're using for our service desk. So over time, it will be able to identify
what tickets
certain
are.
Tickets, yep. Certain categories, and if there's particular actions that could be triggered by that AI. And yep. then that drives a process. So that process is mapped. Mm. But it might be something like a new user request can come in. Now, a new user request could be asked for in six different ways.
Yes.
Set up this new person. Can you add this new user? I've got this new... like, and that's the whole idea.
So true, yeah.
Because people ask the way they know and everyone has a different context.
Yep.
That's the challenge with
definitely
optimization and workflow processing, because to kick off a workflow, you've got to have very structured...
A common point, yeah.
Yeah, very structured inputs. So our new user workflow has to say... new user has to have these, this and this. But yeah. when we look at it from a person and a people context,
yeah,
people ask for it in 400 different ways. So this is where the AI then has to start learning about how people ask for that. So yes. it might be, I've got this new guy starting, I've got this new girl starting, I've got a new starter, I've got a new user. They don't ask for a new user.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
So we have to interpret that. Our team, you look at it, we're people, we're creative and we can look at it and interpret it.
Yeah. Machines
don't
yeah.
typically do that. So yeah. that's the AI aspect of it. And that's where the data comes into it. So AI could be put across numbers, financials, could be put across information, can be put up the front of processes to identify and pull out information
mm.
to then kick off processes. So that's the AI part.
Yeah, interesting.
And that's the bit that's gonna make a lot of the difference, I think, when
yeah.
that's
optimized. Yeah.
And it's, again, it comes down to the context of industry, the context of yeah. business.
So many facets to AI, I think, that people yeah, need to get their head around.
I mean, I did a session last week with a guy and we were looking at OpenAI and chat. And we were asking it questions and we were training the AI to work in the context of an IT company.
Yeah.
It knows what an IT company is. It knows what a manager for us. So we set the context. Don't answer any questions unless it's IT related, for example. Mm-hmm. Then we started asking it questions and we asked it about watermelons and apples
yeah.
and it goes, oh, I only do IT. Start asking it about technology and it starts finding information and returning it.
Yeah,
so
cool.
You have to, again, it's process driven and it's trained and structured in a way. It's not
yeah,
just,
yeah, yeah.
I'm going to whack this bit of AI over the top of my data and I'm going to know everything I need yeah. to know.
You still got to know what you want to know, but that's the hard thing.
That's the hardest thing is you've... It's always the challenge is you don't know what you don't know,
yeah.
so how do you know what to use?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But if you look at it back in a business context, there are things that you know that you need. I need to know my KPIs.
Yes.
Okay, great. What are my KPIs?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's the next question.
Yep.
Okay, they're this, and this.
Yep.
So now how do I get the data for this, and this? I go, okay, well, that gets entered here. Now, how's that data getting entered? Is that data being accurately entered?
Mm.
Because without any of that, doesn't matter what I stick over the top of it,
yeah.
not going to get it.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
you still got to know an element, and AI is the same. What outcome are you trying to achieve?
Absolutely.
Because the outcome can be achieved in multiple different ways.
Yep.
Now we've got AI as an option to achieve an outcome.
Yeah, so it's another tool really, isn't it?
I think so, and it's a tool that can be used in across many, many different facets. So and as we've seen with ChatGPT, I mean, it's a tool.
Yeah.
I've got to be able to ask it something that I'm looking for. So I've got to know what I'm looking for
to
get the information out.
Yeah.
But the way it comes out is impressive because you look at it compared to Google, for example.
Yeah.
Okay, I ask AI a question, it gives me a specific answer. Now whether that's the right answer or not,
yep.
you still got to interpret
objective,
that.
Yeah.
Whereas I ask Google the same question,
yep.
it gives me a list of potential answers.
Mm.
Again, pros and cons either way.
Yeah,
again, you've got to know what you're looking for to curate that data.
Yeah.
I mean, we're looking at it how we can use both of those tools to empower our team a little bit more effectively.
100%.
Across our internal knowledge bases, external knowledge bases. So we ask our bot a question.
Yeah.
It then goes and interprets, whether it's ChatGPT, whether it's our internal knowledge base, whether it's Google, for example, and goes, well, here's what I think is the relevant answer.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's a little internal project we're starting to kick off.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Just to see where it can be applied.
Absolutely.
And it's not about replacing anyone. It's about
empowering
them.
Yeah, and helping people, have access to things in a more streamlined way so that they can assess at a deeper level. Because I feel like when you're searching for information sometimes, because it's hard to get the information, you only go so deep.
Yep.
Where if you have access to more information, you have the ability, because you have time and space, to be able to go deeper on topics.
I think that's really good insight there, because it is, because we spend so much time finding the information.
Yep.
I don't think we spend enough time analyzing
it. Yep. 100%.
So if we can use tools like this AI or whatever it is, or workflow and that sort of stuff, even if it brings back more information, we've saved the amount of time we've spent finding it. If we implement enough smarts around it, it's contextualizing that as well.
Yep.
So now we can really dive into it to go, oh, that's what I want.
Yeah.
And then the idea is, well, once you've asked that question and you've found that deep data, if you've then got a process of tagging and training and learning, the next time someone else asks that question, they're going to get that data more effectively.
100%.
That's the smarts behind the AI.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
You still got to teach it.
The reason I mention that is because I read this book over the holidays called Building a Second Brain. And he talks about this whole journey that is happening in the world we live in, which we consume so much information, but we don't store it anywhere where it's easy for us to find.
Yep.
So everyone goes, oh, yeah, I remember reading something about that, but can't actually put any context around it. So he's created this whole system, which is very clever. Again, manual. It has nothing to do with AI. It has nothing.
Yeah.
It's a manual system of when you're reading things and when you're how to tag properly and how to – and it made me think a lot about sort of what we do.
I need that book.
Yeah, it's really –
And my mind's going.
And his whole thing is that if you tag efficiently and you compartmentalize data, then when you get there, you can analyze it at a deeper level.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, that's the key.
Made me really think about it, and it's true, because you do spend a lot of time going, I remember doing this or doing that. And sometimes it's only actually 10% of actually what you remember it being.
Yep.
If that makes sense.
Yep.
Yeah. So.
Yep. No, that's. Yeah, that's interesting, because that's the key element. I mean, that's for any knowledge business.
Yeah.
And most, I mean, professional services is all knowledge
businesses. It's a knowledge business.
Whether it's legal, accounting, financial, IT.
Exactly right.
We're a knowledge business in that sense. I mean, we've got a shite ton of information and knowledge that floats around in different repositories.
Yeah, yeah.
And, oh, yeah, I remember seeing that. Can't remember where, but if you search here, you'll find it.
Yeah,
that's what you want sitting over the top of
it.
Is to, I'm looking for this, and it just brings it back. And then effectively structuring it so next time that it's tagged and accessible. So because you know that someone else in the business is going to ask that question.
Always.
Always going to be asking.
Yeah, interesting. There you go.
So that's
Web3.
Oh, Web3.
Quickly. Before we wrap up.
Well, I don't know a lot about it.
No, neither do I.
People have talked about it. I've read something somewhere about it.
That's you had your second brain.
I think the technical definition is around decentralization of the internet.
Yeah, yeah.
So mainly probably blockchain.
Yep.
AI will come into that, decentralized AI, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Let me just quickly, because I did Google
it. Yeah, I know. And I was curious, because you came out with a couple of sentences where I thought, people need to hear this, because I actually thought.
It's a new iteration of the World Wide Web that incorporates concepts such as decentralization, blockchain, and token-based economics.
There you go.
So
I believe, and excuse my ignorance, but I believe this is what cryptocurrency is built
on.
Yeah.
So the term, I'm just reading as we go. The term Web3 was coined by Ethereum founder.
Okay.
And that's sort of, so it's crypto-based. That's where I think it's leveraged
from.
Yeah,
interesting.
I haven't really got into crypto, but it's not so much the crypto, it's the blockchain that's the key.
This is the question I have for you, because I know in our business is that there was this big push to put everything up in a big cloud, right?
Yep.
And there was this iteration that happened where we're going to take the information that's traditionally stored on a server or on a device, and we're gonna aim to push. And you know, Microsoft's had a lot to do with this sort of Azure environments and so on. Do you think that we've come to the conclusion now where that most businesses need a bit of both, where there is this hybrid sort of thing, you still think that everyone's going up there?
I think that's the point. Look, I'll say there are some that there are always going to be scenarios where there is that local on-premise component required.
Yep.
And that'll come down to application types, all these sort of things, a whole range of things that'll come into that.
Yeah.
I mean, but for the vast majority of organizations.
Yeah. It should all be in Microsoft, really.
In the cloud. I mean, the cloud, look, again, there's pros and cons. I mean, we put a server in your office, we put a server in a data center.
Yeah.
It's a physical bit of hardware.
I think servers becomes a risk.
Yeah. You're not going to build an Azure environment in your own cloud.
Yeah.
But they're not immune either. I mean, there was a big outage last week with Azure. Yep. Where we had a couple of clients affected by an Azure server outage.
Mm.
What it does do, moving your stuff to the cloud, you're putting a lot of trust in those providers, which is inherent, I mean, in that design. So so you want to trust the guys. You trust Microsoft to get things right most of the time.
Yeah, yeah.
They had an outage. Quite a number of servers went offline and it affected one or two of our clients in that.
Yep.
The issue that comes of it is then how do you maintain that trust?
Yes.
And at what point do we have to make a decision to go around that to get it back?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's a little bit skew-if, but I don't think it's going to change because had that same outage happened for that client on their own environment, yes, they might have felt like they had a bit more control because they could physically touch and feel it.
Yeah.
But depending on the nature of that outage, could have actually been a lot more
severe
and a longer impact because if it was a hardware failure, a significant hardware failure, that outage happening at midnight, you're not going to get replacement parts.
Yeah, yeah.
Who are we going to call? What's your DR strategy? All these sorts of things.
Yeah.
So risk here and there. I mean, that's an incident that doesn't happen every day.
No.
And most of those things. But it's in the
something
context
to think
of
about.
It, in the context of it all, we, in that scenario, it was, we've got to put an element of trust in Microsoft. It's an issue that's affecting an entire region of Microsoft.
Yeah.
We know they're going to throw everything at it to get it back up and running. So sit tight.
Yeah.
It's going to get fixed.
It'll happen.
It got fixed.
Yeah, like
it happens. So from an organization thinking about that, there's going to be compliance requirements, there's going to be security requirements, there's going to be – it's a broader discussion. But if we look at a traditional – sort of mid-size organization, couple of hundred staff, that type of thing.
Yep.
There's not a lot that you couldn't run in the cloud in one form or another.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And still do it cost-effectively, securely, meet all your compliance requirements. It doesn't negate the need for things like support and response and patching and all that sort of stuff. It just removes a layer of disaster recovery. It doesn't negate any of that. You should still have a process. And that's important to note is that the cloud – In all the hype,
is what it is.
Is what it is. In the fundamental of it, there's still a bunch of servers sitting somewhere that's running, and that's going to potentially have a hardware failure at some point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The idea being is if you're with a big enough provider or a reputable provider,
redundancy.
That hardware failure is going to be a very minimal impact. It might be a server reboot.
Yeah, yeah.
Versus a, we've got to go and replace this thing and upgrade it. Financially, I still think it's cost effective in the sense of you're not running that hardware, you're not maintaining that hardware, you're not having to replace that hardware, you're not running the risk of that hardware failing. If you're doing a full DR, you've got to duplicate that hardware and all these sorts of things. So, and security is the other big thing. You're definitely more secure.
Yeah, 100%.
In most cloud environments, if they're configured correctly, than what you would achieve locally.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, look, Web 3, Web 2, cloud. Yeah, I think cloud's still where it's at.
I've just heard conversations about in the last sort of month or so, and I think 100% cloud's still where it is.
Yeah, and as I say, there's still going to be requirements where certain things
need to be run that way.
And we look at things
case
like
case.
AutoCAD and marketing files. They're massive files.
Yep.
You'll replicate them to the cloud from a DR perspective, but you'll probably work on them more locally than you would a Word document or a PowerPoint that's sitting on SharePoint.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Cool. Web3, there's a lot of talk about that for this year, but I still don't know. Blockchain.
We'll do some research.
We'll come back.
We'll have a podcast on Web3 at some stage.
You've got to find someone who knows.
Might even find an expert. Good idea.
Find an expert.
Very good idea.
I'm not promising anything this year
No.
in relation to getting guests and experts on. Happens when it happens.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. But you could just listen to the lovely voiceover of Josh and I.
Yeah. What more could you want?
Welcome to 2023, Josh.
Thanks, Tom.
Bye.